You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Christina, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Anna and Kim. Hello.
Hello.
Yay. Hello, hello. Hello. Yes, welcome. Welcome to our Crown of Midnight episode. We will be talking all things Crown of Midnight tonight, which is the third installment of Sarah J. Maas's Throne of Glass series, if you are counting Assassin's Blade novellas as the first book, which we are because that was our first episode on it. But yes, second, That's technically second book. But yeah, guys, this was a ride. I finished it today, and it's
really,
I forgot some, knew things were going to happen, but like, I like, you know, it was a reread. I knew what was coming, but it's still, it's, yeah, I forgot how it went down, and man, the way things go down are fucking crazy.
I know. I remember like the big stuff, but I don't remember all the like little details and stuff. And there's so much that happens at the end.
Or like how it happens. Yeah. Like, yes, I know that was going to happen, but actually reading it, I was like, oh shit, this goes
the
wild.
The ending is wild. Like, everything that happens with, I mean, we'll obviously get into it,
we'll get into it.
This book is, obviously, I love it a lot because it, you know, it's Kale centered and
this I'm and a big Tower fan of Dawn. Of that,
but yeah, not until Tower of Dawn, which everyone hates and doesn't like to read. So, goody.
But
I love Tower of Dawn. Justice for Tower of Dawn.
I enjoyed it. I did. No, this was a great one, and it was a lot of Kale. I knew you'd like that. So, spoiler warning. Do you want to give a spoiler warning?
Yes. Okay, so before we get started, this is your spoiler warning for the first three installments of the Throne of Glass series, Assassin's Blade, Throne of Glass, and now Crown of Midnight. We will not be giving away anything from the rest of the series until the very end, when we will be going through Easter eggs and other little tidbits that SJM drops in this book. And at that point, we will be sure to give another spoiler warning, so if you have not finished the series in its entirety, you can tune out and come back once you've finished.
Which you should.
So, with that being said, why don't we just give a quick little tidbit on where we left off at the end of Throne of Glass.
Oh, gosh. Mm. Okay. So, oh, it feels like so long ago. So much has happened to our friends.
And so many moons ago.
Okay, well,
really, though, it's not. It's wild. This timeline is wild.
I know. When you think about the timeline overall, is crazy.
It's
okay, so Selena won the big test, chance. She's the king's champion.
She's the champion.
And she told Dorian that, like, they can't be together because she's the king's champion, and it's, like, bad for business.
It's a bad idea.
And Dorian wasn't too happy about it.
But he was still respectful.
He's very respectful.
He was.
And that there is Elena, and she says there's still like some evil brewing in the castle.
Yeah.
She's just like cryptic.
She's very cryptic.
And like mysterious, and nothing changes on that front.
And Nehemia is can read word marks. So which is obviously important in this book. And that's where we are.
Yes.
That's where we pick up with our heroes.
Yes. With our friends.
Let's talk about the biggest thing that we've been having to keep a secret for
three
books now. And we've been so worried, you guys, that we were going to say the wrong name. We prepped ourselves, like, we have to say Selena. We have to say Selena. It's Selena.
I'm truly proud of us that we haven't done it more.
Truly.
Because it's been really hard. Because every time we talk about this book in any context outside of recording this, we always say Aelin. Like, it's just, she's Aelin for the rest of the book.
She's Aelin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, like, it's just... And I will say that reveal is good. The way she does it and puts the little pieces in this book, the first time I forgot how tricky she is, because the way she talks about it, even the way Selena talks about it, she's like, oh no, like, why, when she talks about them gathering the troops around Aelin, and she's like, well, they couldn't have. Yeah. And she's like, Aelin's dead. Well, Aelin's dead. And it's like, you really don't think about it as an option until the end.
No,
really,
no. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is her mostly just like not wanting to acknowledge that truth, right? And shoving it down, which is a trauma response.
Sure.
And not wanting to acknowledge that and, like, what that would mean for her and her life. And it's wild.
I think for her, too, it's not just, like, suppressing it. I think in some ways she thinks that little girl is dead. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, that, like, she she has mourned that part of her life and it's dead and gone.
Yeah.
To
quote
Justin Timberlake.
Totally.
So sad. And you know we'd love to quote Justin Timberlake.
Anytime really... we can tie that in, like, 10 points.
I really love that song.
10 points, you know. Okay.
So great.
So
amazing. Cool moms are coming out tonight.
That's right, with the chakras and the Justin Timberlake quotes.
Boom shakalaka.
Mom's gone wild.
Justin Timberlake's like in his 40s now, so like I don't know that he's that cool.
He will always be cool.
He's always cool.
He's, you know, in
He brought sexy back. It was gone, but he brought it back.
and did he ever?
Oh God,
I gotta find an emoji for that.
Okay. So Selena is Aelin, Aelin is Selena. Yes. They're the same person. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So when anyone first read this, was anyone actually like thinking that she was like, or I can't remember now. Do we find out pretty quickly that she actually wasn't killing the people?
We find out pretty quickly. But at the beginning, she's like a little scary.
Yeah.
She's a little scary. Because you think she's really killing them?
Yeah, she goes into that guy's house, right? And like doesn't like the chapter end with her like posed over him and like cuts to Kale?
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, no, Selena?
Yeah.
Well, and Kale and Dorian don't realize
for a while.
So there's a whole part where, like, she's showing up and throwing heads and body parts, and they're like,
she
casual.
Loves to throw a severed head. What is going on with her?
I love it.
She loves a severed head moment.
And I'm like, I mean, get therapy.
There are
therapy.
Other
like,
ways to show this.
Dorian looks so sickened. He's just like,
ugh. Yeah, and Dorian's like, oh, God. And like,
would you not? Like, I would vomit. It's a decayed, rotting head.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
She has to get really decayed ones because they're not actually the person she
killed.
They
can't tell who they
she's
are.
She's like, sorry, it was a rough journey.
I'm like, oh my God.
It's so gross. Well, and then, but like in those first parts, like Kale and Dorian, when they interact with her, I'm just like, oh my God, you think this bitch is just out there like being assassin.
Why do you like
her? But like,
Because men are weird and
which,
into
like,
weird
I guess
shit.
She was an assassin. This wasn't like that out of character. Like she was an assassin.
Sure. True.
But like, it's just those scenes, especially when she's like so vicious and she's like, And here's wife's
his
dead hand and like, whatever. And then they're just walking out and Kale's like, so how was your trip back? Like, no, this is not normal.
I was worried about you. Well, I just delivered a severed head and a hand.
Like,
so how worried could you be?
Kale, that's not the question I would be asking. Okay.
What's your mental health?
I would be like, let's check in.
Let's check in. Dear God.
Do you not think it's interesting though that I get why she does it because she hates the king, but like, I find it interesting that she didn't have a problem killing in the Assassin's Guild, but because it's the king, like, do you think it's just because it's of who he is and what he represents?
So they make a point in, I think it's an Assassin's Blade, but it's also in this book, I think, that she refused to kill anyone from Terrasen when Erebon would ask her. She, there was a point made, I think in a couple of the last two books, at least two of the last three, that she refused to kill anyone from Tarrasen. And all of the people now that the king is asking her to kill are people from Tarrasen, or are people who are like, you know, rebels. So that's why she does.
Right. Yeah.
And I think too, there it was right. noted at some point, like with Arabin, she always like, quote, like had a choice. Like she could say like, yeah, I want to kill this person, or no, I don't, even though she kind of couldn't, but like she like had a choice. Yeah. And she, in her mind, like these were bad people she was killing. Like she, I think that made her feel a little better. And I think now it's like, she's like, she's like his like minion, his whatever yeah. he says, which like, that she doesn't really believe him that they're actually bad. Cause they're not, turns out, a lot of them.
Turns out.
Yeah. Some of them are.
Some of them are.
Also, can we talk about like the catacombs when she goes down there for the first time?
I love Mort. And he's so funny.
I have to say, I forgot how funny he was. He's funny.
That's terrible.
He's a little sassy man.
I love how sassy he is with Selena. I'm like, yes.
Little Dorna.
Yes.
Yes.
Does anyone read, well, I'm sure you guys have all seen Alice in Wonderland, the Disney, the animated one. I kept picturing the doorknob that talks in that movie the whole time.
Oh, okay.
There's
like
this little animated doorknob that like talks to Alice.
He's like,
I was like, well, this is, pretty much the same thing. It's all very trippy. we're all on shrooms.
It is. Yeah. Everyone.
We're all on shrooms.
All of us.
There's the whole thing where she's like, Mort, she hollered, what the hell is this wall? Does it make any sense to you why I would be here? No, Mort said dully. Don't lie to me. Lie to you? To you? Oh, I couldn't lie to you. You asked me whether it makes sense. And I said no. Like, he just like, he's like so just freaking funny. He's like,
But
what about this? No, mm-mm. Not good. You're not, no. mm-mm. No.
But when he asked her name and she said Selena,
he laughed.
This was in the last book, and he was like, "Oh, that's the funniest thing I've heard in a long time." Yes, and was like dying laughing, and we were like, "Ah!" Like we couldn't say it, but it was
And I remember reading that this time and be like, "Oh my god, that's hilarious." When I read this, not knowing, was I just like, "Oh, he just thinks her name's funny?" Yeah. Like it's just a ridiculous name.
I guess we just didn't think about it, but now like knowing that, it's so funny to see him be like, "Oh, is that your name, Selena?"
Hilarious. Yeah.
And she just doesn't respond. All
right. Well, from the beginning of the book, like we have instructions from Elena, so like she's not wasting any time.
Nope.
And not, but she of course like she's too weak from the final battle in the last book or whatever.
Yeah.
So she like delivers a message through Mort,
so, and
Mort impersonates Elena's voice.
Yeah, Mort doing her voice. Yeah. In my head, it's really funny. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I mean, I think this is, I mean, obviously prevalent now that we know that she's Aelin. But if the quote, you know, what she tells Selena is, "If I could leave you in peace, I would. But you have lived your life aware that you will never escape certain burdens. Whether you like it or not, you are bound to the fate of this world." Which,
big time, girl. Big time. But also, could it be less helpful?
Could it be less helpful? Like, but thank you so much for telling me that I have all this.
Appreciate the effort.
Weight of the world on my shoulders.
Yeah, like let me just stress you out but give you no real information. Mm-mm. Okay?
Nothing
okay,
I'm gonna to do. Go rest. And like
she's so unhelpful.
I'm really not a fan. Okay, so another side character we get a little more of in this one was Caltaine.
Oh, bless.
Ooh, y'all.
Poor
Caltaine. It was like hard to talk about her when we were doing our Throne of Glass episode because we know what ends up happening to her in this book and how she is just such a pawn of Parrington and the king. Uh-huh. And even though like, yes, she's written to be this kind of snarky, stereotypical court lady.
Like mean girl.
And she, mean girl. And she does lean into it, but there is, you feel for her and she is so clearly a pawn as like so many women were at that, like, you know, I know this isn't a real time period, but like anytime there's like a court and men involved that have power, like the women have very specific roles that they kind of generally will fall into because that's all there is for them. And it's just, like when Aelin goes down to, she is Aelin, but.
We can say it now,
So when Selena goes down to visit her in the prison, in the cells, dungeon or whatever, and God, I forgot that she has this line. Selena notes like the hand marks on her wrist.
On her wrist.
And
And
Caltaine tries to cover them up or hide them. And she says, "The guards look away when Parrington visits."
Yeah, the night guard.
And it made me feel so sick. I was like, I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot.
It's
It was so gross. It's awful.
Yeah, that scene where she comes down and like acts like she's gonna make Caltaine talk, and Caltaine like flinches, mm-hmm. and she's like, yeah. "Please don't, like, please." Yeah. And you're just like, "Oh God!" Like everything she says, and like that first time, like Selena totally dismisses everything Caltaine says, like oh, you know, God, like, "Oh, I hear the flapping of the wings and all this stuff," and Selena's like, "Whatever, you're a Looney Tune."
Yeah,
and then
which. And it's not until Nehemia says later on in the book that, like, none of her Ilway scouts are returning from the mountains or wherever, you know, the Feridian or wherever it is, those mountains.
Gap, yeah.
And that they are hearing reports of wings, like giant wings flapping. And uh-huh. it's like,
right. she says the
and
wings,
it's like,
yeah.
what is it? What the fuck is up there? And Caltaine has all the headaches, and then Roland, who's new to the scene, is suffering from headaches like wearing the ring, which we find out in this book is like
I
the stone.
Forgot that he had a ring on.
Yeah, what's that stone called?
Yeah,
obsidian.
Obsidian.
Without giving a spoiler, does Roland come up again?
He becomes like a monster, I think. Like they create him.
Oh, really?
Into like,
they like put one in
they
him.
They put one in. Yeah. In. And I care. I think he dies, yeah. but I think he like, I think
oh,
it's
I,
like,
I don't remember.
I feel like it's like, I think Manon kills him, and she's, it's similar to when Selena kills the creature in the library where like she sees like a pleading in the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah.
Because as I read, when I read it this time, I actually felt more for him because I think it ends really badly for him.
Oh, see, I don't remember anything about him. And I remember feeling like this guy's going to screw Dorian over. Like I didn't,
yeah,
I did not trust him.
So I think
we're
set up also to think. To think badly of him because our only anecdote from like the past of him is him like sleeping with Kale's ex-girlfriend.
That was
and
bad.
So I think it kind of like that plus his like, I don't know, buddy with Dorian all of a sudden and like having the ring on. Like, I think we're really, we're set up, I think, also the same way we were for Caltaine, not to feel bad for him.
Which would be interesting because now that we, now knowing what we know about Caltaine, yes, Roland was a shithole in his past.
Yeah.
And he probably isn't a great person, but does he deserve
what
was coming? Just like, did Caltaine deserve what was coming? And no.
No.
Yeah, right. So like, and that's what's interesting. It's like this whole, I mean, you could go on and on and on about like.
Yeah.
Back to Caltaine.
Yeah.
Her and Selena, I love this quote between like her, or the, her and Selena have a conversation and, well, this is after Nehemia's death, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she gets thrown in and they have the whole, so she's in the, you know, the dungeons with, she's in the dungeons with Caltaine, and Caltaine's like, if they let you out, make sure that they're punished someday. Every last one of them. And she's like, I will.
I love that line.
Snaps, and I
girl.
Was like, yes, girl. Yes.
Girl.
And Caltaine comes off as so, you know who she reminds me of? Is that weirdo in the Serpent and Dove series. Nicolina.
Oh my God.
Oh, Nicolina.
Like a little bit. Just because she's saying like, she's talking, I hear flapping of the wings and something
and
is coming and I am to greet it. And it's so creepy.
Yeah. Oh, like that is such a good reference. Yeah. Because Nicolina and then spoiler for Serpent and Dove. I'm not going to say that.
Spoiler for Serpent and Dove series.
But,
if you're planning on reading it.
But Nicolina, then we find out, says all that crazy random shit.
Right.
And she has like a million people in her head.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're like, well, no wonder she's talking gibberish because she's always people inside of her.
I know.
But I just got this vibe. Like, I don't know. You obviously can tell like Caltaine is so in over her head. She has no idea what she's gotten herself into. She's so defeated and like,
she's broken
and
absolutely.
But and then the final, her final quote, I think that she says to, is it the final? I don't remember, but it's something is coming and I am to greet it. And boy, girl.
So ominous.
That's ominous. Yeah.
That's so
ominous.
And then it's later that Selena finds out that like there was a really strong power in Caltaine's like family tree. There is history of like really strong magic. So word keys and like the word marks, as we all know, like just having the power in you makes it more accessible and easier to use.
Yeah.
Totally.
Without giving
that.
Spoiler away on what happens in Caltaine's journey, it is really interesting that we get a lot of little like Easter egg clues in this book that something she's like being used. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how. Like, you know, we don't know. Like, she says the thing about they want me to go to marry Parrington and go to Morath with him, Morath, and all these things. And she's like, why would he want you to marry him? You, like, he threw you in this dungeon. Like, you betrayed him.
Right.
I don't understand. And she's like, I don't know.
She's like,
I don't know. And then there's like the headaches, and then the interesting headache thing with her and Roland like tie in.
Yes.
She really drops little clues. So you're like, I know something's happening with them, and it's not good.
Yeah.
And like,
it's not
that's
good.
All you know. Yeah.
Can't be good.
Can't be good.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, Nahemia. Man, you guys. Let's get into Nahemia. I have some hot takes about Nahemia.
Nahemia!
Okay, so now that, like, we know that Selena is Aelin, I have to Google this. Uh-huh. Christina, do you remember the term foil from theater? Am I making that up?
Yeah, but
no, I know
what
you're saying.
Am I saying it wrong?
I think it could also be negative.
Wait, what is foil in theater? Like, someone you...
I think it also has a negative connotation. Like,
well, let me see. Foil
so
character.
So I don't really
foil
want to say
in literature,
for
character
sure.
Who is presented as a contrast to a second character so as to point to or show to advantage some aspect of the second character. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would... I
feel like it also means, like, foil, like spark. Like enemy, like antagonist. Like,
well, okay, so that's kind of my hot take about Nahemia.
Ooh. I think she is, because she's everything that she wants to do is not what Selena wants to do, but it's what Selena, like, it's what Aelin does.
Should be doing.
Does that make sense? That's why I kept saying she was a, like,
yeah.
So, like, she wants to fight. Like, you know, at what point is enough enough? She keeps telling her, like, when do we fight? And Selena's like, no, I'd like, come to me when your people are dying or whatever that's dead around you or whatever she says. Yeah, so now that we know that Selena is Aelin. I found it was so much more interesting when Nahemia would talk about, like, being a princess, because Aelin is a princess, and fighting, you know, Nahemia is working so hard to, like, for the rebels and to fight for, like, her country's freedom and to, like, free the slaves in Calcala and Endovir. I feel like in a lot of ways she's like a foil to Selena's character, because Selena wants to it's not that she wants to remain the status quo, but she doesn't want to rock the boat because she's lost so many people in her life.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like,
she's scared.
Yeah, she's scared. Yeah. And for the first time, like, at the end of last book, she says, like, she has the opportunity to be free.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Like, freedom is right in her grasp, and she's never, ever had that. And Nahemia, on the reverse, who knows that she's Aelin. I'm confused at what point in this book she finds that out from Elena, but, like, she knows that she's Aelin. And, like, I'm wondering, like, what point does she push Selena, knowing that she's actually a princess of Terrasen? And
I think that last conversation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
When she calls her a coward.
Yeah, definitely.
She calls her a coward because she's like, I know who you really are. Yeah. And, like, how can you sit there? Mm-hmm. But also, there's an interesting quote that just came to my mind. And she's in Kale's room and she's complaining about being hungry. And she's like, can't you have a servant, like, bring us some food or something like that? And he's like, oh my God, like, all you want to do is eat. Like, and she's like, don't I deserve that after everything I've been through? And he gets very serious and he's like, yeah, you do. And so he gets up and he goes to the kitchen and he's
so cute.
But that is true. Like, I think in her mind, she's like,
why do I have to do this?
Like, which I agree.
I agree. And then there's a whole thing, I mean, where her and Nahemia are talking, and she's like, you know, they're talking about rebels against the king and this whole, you know, possible rebellion. And Selena to Nahemia is like, you have no idea what he's capable of. Like, this is out of our grasp. Like, no. Like, he has millions of people, like, and he cut down the, like, most, or she's like, says something about Terrasen. She's like, he killed the most, like, the, like, biggest, highest warriors and all the people in Terrasen.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's just, really, the point of it was just that she's scared of him and was like, Nahemia, no, this isn't. Like,
and I think
scary.
She has, obviously, he killed her entire, yeah. all of her people, everybody she loved. Like,
I mean, she says, like, to her, she goes, you have no idea what sort of things he can do to you, Nehemia, to your people.
Yeah.
And Nehemia responds, he massacred 500 rebels and their families. And Selena screams back, and he destroyed my entire kingdom. You daydream about the power and honor of Tarasin's royal court, yet you don't realize what it means that the king was able to destroy them. They were the strongest court on the continent. They were the strongest court on any continent, and he killed them all.
Yeah. I'm a little confused on the timeline here of Nehemia. So at what point is she told by Elena that she has to die? And there's the conversation where now we know what they're talking about, but Nehemia to Elena is like, she's not going to come back for this. She's not come back from my, like, she's not going to understand this. Nothing's going to pull her out of this grief, like, whatever. All of that happens before the you're a coward conversation,
no,
right?
No, it happens. Like, do you think it happens right after? Well, oh, sorry. It probably happens before. No, actually, no, it happens right after.
I'm just
after.
Saying, like, is the you're a coward conversation, like, is Nehemia specifically trying to make her death even more painful for Selena and make it even more of a, like, push for her to then, like, I'm going to avenge her?
Well, based on the way that it's broken down in the book, because the scene with Nehemia and Aelin, I'm sorry, the scene with Nehemia and Elena is the next page after she calls her a coward.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was right before or after.
That's like she's pushing Selena. She's pushing her, knowing who she is, hoping that she'll like agree to fight back. And then when she doesn't, that's when Elena's like, this is our last resort. This is what we have to do.
That's what I was going to say. I think it was like a last ditch, like, come on, like, you can do this with me. Like, let's do this.
Well, because she says, like, no. What will be enough to make you want to fight back?
Oh, I know that final quote. We've talked about this in every book, because in every book somebody has called her a coward, and this is her biggest fear, right? Like, her biggest fear is her cowardice, that she ran when she woke up in her parents' bed covered in blood, and like she, you know, ran from the castle, and we don't know what happens at this point, but like we know that she was rescued by Arabin, and but we know enough to know that probably she feels like a tremendous amount of guilt and cowardice would accompany that, would be like a natural emotion. Sure. And when she's one of the final things Nehemia says to her is, I didn't realize that you're just a coward. Selena looked over her shoulder. Say that again. Nehemia didn't flinch. You're a coward. You are nothing more than a coward.
Oh. Mm. And then she hears that over and over in her head, dreams, ever. She hears it over and over.
She doesn't let it go. Not even in the next book. Like, she just doesn't let it go.
It's a recurring theme.
It's a recurring theme. And that's when, and then that's the last thing on that chapter. And then that's when Elena says, one of them has to break. Only then can it begin. Mm. Nehemia says, I know, but the prince isn't ready. It has to be her, which is really interesting. Why are they bringing
that
Dorian
into
this?
Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Nehemia and Selena's friendship, because I just feel like, and I don't know how to say this in a kind way, I just feel like they didn't get along, like, the vast majority of their friendship. Like, I felt like they were arguing a lot. There was a lot of tension. There was a lot of secrets.
A lot of secrets.
Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like they were at odds more than they were close. Like, there were more bad times than good times. Because, y'all, in this timeline, it's only like a couple of months.
Yeah, I think it's...
that they're actually even, like, know each other.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, but isn't the whole Throne of Glass a year?
I mean, I know that we go through, like, October, November, December while she's in the first book. And then this book starts, like, a couple months later, right? So it's, like, 4 or 5...
Like, February. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, never mind. Ignore
that. No, but that's not a long time to be...
Right, it's not. Like, when Kale said the line that they had only been, like, together for a week,
that's wild to me.
Oh, that just killed me. I was like...
In my mind, I was like, no, y'all have been together it's been months.
It's been months.
Agreed.
And he's like, oh, we've been sleeping together for, you know, he doesn't say that, but, like, essentially, they've been hooking up for a week.
Which is even more hilarious that they're all so either of them is so devastated, like, it doesn't work out. And I'm like, boy, girl.
Also, I just want to, like, imagine it's longer, because then if it's not, the emotional turmoil we go through is like, okay,
It's like, how many, and also all the places they have sex in the course of, like, a week. Like, what are you doing? Don't
they
you
got
have
busy.
Jobs?
Yeah.
No.
Aren't you the captain?
So
But Nahida, I mean,
to be fair, like, they obviously were, like, flirting for a lot longer than that. But, yeah, they were actually only together for a week, which is bananas. But I think that Sarah gets a lot better at writing friendship.
Yes.
In the later books.
Agreed.
And I just think that this is not the best example of a friendship that I really felt deeply invested in. I liked Nahemia, but I was not, like, traumatized by her death like I was Sam's. Like, I was much more upset about Sam. Mm. I was upset because Nahemia is obviously, like, an icon to her, like, you know, what she represents to her people.
Absolutely.
But I just don't think that in this book, Sarah does the best job at, like, making me feel like they are best friends. Because they don't, there's so many secrets. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't be.
I do think that there's, I remember my, like, feeling when they, there's that one scene where she's like, you did it in a broom closet? Oh my God. Like, da 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 da. And they're, like, being all cute.
Right.
And I remember reading that and being like, I wish we had more of this with them.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that there was more of this.
Yes.
And I remember noting that in that moment. And I think that's because we didn't get, it was all very serious a lot of times. And I think a lot of their friendship is, she makes a comment at some point about, like, she was her sole friend. She was her sole, like, mate and all these things. And I think that we got told that a little more than we got shown it. Like, we got, or we got show.
It's a telltale show.
Which yeah, I wonder exactly.
If that's, I mean, a couple things. Either scenes were cut out for, you know, publishing purposes, or it's to, you know, just a, you know, how much Sarah has grown over the course of her career. Because, you know, we will meet other females in this book, and I don't, like, female characters, and I feel very differently about them than I do about Nahemia.
Agreed.
And then when she writes ACOTAR and when she writes Crescent City, which obviously we will not spoil anything, but, like, there are tons of female friendship dynamics in those two books, and clearly,
and she does such a, like, great job. And I get it, this is only her second book, and she was very, so, like, I'm not,
oh, no that wasn't an I'm attack not, on like, you no I'm saying, like, I agree, like, I wonder that I'm
just saying, if anyone's listening, like, I'm not trying to be like, get it together, Sarah, who probably wrote this when she was like 18.
Right.
When I was still, like, in a love triangle in high school.
Right. Like, I was doing shit all, you know, in, like, comp one in college. I'm just saying, like, especially rereading it, usually I feel more, and this time I felt even less about Nahemia's death.
I agree.
And I don't think it's anything about her as a, like, I do love her as a character. I love how important she is, and, like, I do think she's important. It's just something about the level of the trauma from her death I felt
like it was a huge,
like, I get it. I do. It was hard to describe.
I feel like I almost get more from their relationship after she dies.
Agreed.
Like, the moments where where Selena is mourning Nahemia, when she goes to her graveside and she sings the Fae, like, ancient eulogy song.
That was more impactful to me than them being
the
friends.
The scar that she, you know, the promise she makes that she will free Ilwe from the King of Adderland at the end of the book. And, like,
that was,
like, I mean, you know, whenever really she looks at the crescent scar on her hand, knowing that Nahemia is the one that saved her. Like, there's all these little moments that, like, when that's almost like how I feel more for, I miss Nahemia more in those moments. But again, it's, I mean, that is showing us, that's not so much telling us, but, like, it's interesting that, like, I feel like her character had a bigger impact, which, okay, all right, maybe I just talked myself into it, which clearly was Elena's point.
That's true.
Oh, interesting.
Did I just talk myself into something?
Yeah, Elena, I see what you did there. I think also some of this might be, like, you know, she's never had a female best friend. Mm. She's never been able to trust a female best friend. Like, some of that
that's
is,
true.
Like,
and just Lysandra
motivates
from the Assassin's Blade.
Right. Who, like, I think her exact quote was, like, she had never seen her and not wanted to push her out of window.
Wanted to, like, punch her in the face.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I think she put a lot into their, she probably put a lot, I could see how she would put a lot into their friendship, and that would, like, heighten it so much. In this scenario.
Sure.
But I do agree that we could have had more buildup of their,
I just feel like you said, like, Christina, I love those moments of them, like, just being, you know, and I know they don't get that luxury. They don't have the privilege
they
of
got
just
stuff
being
going on.
Silly courtesans, like, giggling over boys. But it would have been nice to see a little more of that than them telling us, like, oh, they had lessons every morning. They went on walks. And it's like,
yes.
I would have liked to have seen more of those interactions than just being like, oh, they were together, like, every day, but you don't read the interactions. And I think for me, it just built up to, like, my strong feelings about how Selena reacted towards Kale about Nahemia's death. And I think if I had felt more for their friendship, I wouldn't be so frustrated with how Selena
reacted.
Deals with that and her behavior towards Kale, which I just feel like...
Which we'll get to, yeah.
I feel like if I had been more invested, I would have been like, right, exactly. And Kale was in the wrong, and like, I admit that, and he knows that, but I still just felt like...
And we've had a discussion, and Kale understands.
And we've had a discussion, and I've calmed down. I get it.
But I also... No, I meant like, I mean, it sounds like you personally talked to Kale. It was really cute.
Right.
I mean... We're in, what do you mean? We're in love. Like, I have talked to him. Like, remember, he's so lucky to have me, Anna.
Like, he's so lucky.
He is so lucky. Kale,
so lucky to have you.
And he gets it. And, I, you know, like, we're on
I am
this
here to tell you. He knows he was wrong. He knows. So.
He'll be having a press conference at 9 p.m. if anybody's interested. I've written his statement for
him. He'll be on our Instagram live.
Well, and we will definitely, we have a whole, we're going to talk about Nehemia's death great detail.
Okay, let's we'll get into that in a minute.
Sweet Dorian, because he
really shined in this book.
Tell you.
He shined in this book. He did a great job.
I mean, I know Kale is your sweet angel boy. I think Dorian might be my sweet angel boy in these first two books.
He is so sweet.
He's so wonderful.
He's just like... Bless him. He's just, he can't get the girl.
He's so kind.
He's so kind. He's so unlike his father. did not turn out like an asshole like Holland.
No. Yeah.
He's like murdering.
He's just so lovely to her. And he's a great, honestly, he's great this whole book. He's like, really? I mean, well, he gets a little like, he does some little silly, angsty, jealousy boy things.
He gets a little angsty.
But that's fine. Nothing major. Nothing harmful. He's just like, so sweet and lovely. The whole book, I feel like, he's just lovely to her. And he does
very respectful.
Very sweet, respectful things. And he just, like, he has so many great lines to her and about their friendship and about, like, how he feels about her. And it's just...
Yeah, when he's like, do you want me to fight for you? Is that what it is?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Little sweet thing.
I was like,
she just says, she goes, no, leave me alone. And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I got mad at her.
Somebody didn't have their coffee this morning. You're a little grumpy.
Like, look at him. He's gorgeous and he's a prince. He's asking
But do you
to
remember
fight
what
you?
She you said in book
yes.
one?
You say
do
yes.
Do you remember what she said in book one? Princes aren't what? Supposed to be beautiful.
Oh, get out of here.
I was like,
Okay.
No.
What princes do you know?
Can we talk about what he said, like, when Rena Goldsmith was singing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, which we'll get into more about her in a little bit. But she's singing the, you know, the song about, like, the fae and the magic, which, oh, God, also, like, when she gets beheaded later, like, her death is like, awful. Oh, and she's, like, reciting.
And she's saying the names
she's saying
of the
all
people.
The names. Yeah. And, like, even when they, like, I think it says something like, even when they brought the axe back, like, she still was reciting the names, like, from the moment. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's awful.
I think it was like she, oh, yeah.
And, like, her daughter.
He says he would not be, like, the ancient kings. Like, referring, because, like, in the poem, in the song that she's singing, the kings are all, like, trying to hold on to this woman with all the power, and, like, they all want to use her, and he's like, I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to let her go. And he says he would move on because he would not be like the ancient kings in the song and keep her for himself. She deserved a loyal, brave knight who saw her for what she was and did not fear her. And he deserved someone who would look at him like that. Even if the love wouldn't be the same, even if the girl wouldn't be her. So Dorian closed his eyes and took another long breath. And when he opened his eyes, he let her go. And like, how mature is that?
Like,
it's just like, I can't have her, and that doesn't mean nobody else can have her. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that, like, my friend can't have her. Like, I'm happy for them.
But then he's like, I deserve that,
I
too.
I deserve
and
it,
like,
too. Yes! Right. So it's interesting, because it's like, you know, he lets her go, and which is amazing. And, you know, sweet. He does kind of maintain a little bit of a distance. I mean, obviously, it's not easy as, like, I actually thought that was, like, very realistic. He didn't let her go, and then he was like, let's be best friends. Everything's fine. Which would have been super fake.
Right.
Like, it was still hard for him. Like, he gave them space. Like, he couldn't just be, like, one-on-one with her.
He still, like, noticed little things. Little. Like, he was like, oh, okay, how's she looking at Kale? Or, like, how, you know, this and this.
Very
like, he still noticed the stuff.
But after Nehemia died, she felt, Selena, I think, felt so alone. And there's one point where she ends up, I think she ends up in his rooms, right? Like, she ends up, and she...
Yeah, she goes and visits him.
Yeah, she goes up and visits him. And, like, obviously her and Kale are not in a good place.
No. He, like, invites her to come have dinner in his room.
Yeah, and she walks...
And there's books everywhere.
Like, and she realizes like she's never really been to his rooms before. And this is after, by the way, like she threw Graves' head. on the table. Just for context. But she shows up and she says, like, I apologize for my behavior lately. I haven't been myself. And then it goes on. Or she'd just been a part of herself that she usually kept on a tight, tight leash, he thought. But he said, I understand. And from the way her eyes softened, he knew that was all he ever needed to say. And I feel like there's like, it's this, I'm here for you. You don't have to like explain yourself. I'm just here for you.
Yes.
Like it's such a good,
without any judgment, without any judgment, without like needing you to talk about it or tell me any facts about what's going on. And that's exactly what she needed in that moment.
And it's like, then it's only like, it's like a little bit later where she shows up again and he says, and she says, because I have nowhere else to go. And he says, then you will always have a place here.
Oh,
and it's like,
what a sweet, so sweetie.
I know, it's just really sweet.
I love them. Their friendship, like, I think I texted y'all about this, but I love the communication and the trust that they have with each other when they're fighting the creature in the library and they're looking at each other and they're just like, what do we need to do? And like, there's no judgment, there's no questions, there's so much trust between them. And I feel like she just does almost, like you said, I think you said this, Anna, in our text, like, I feel like she almost does a better, she being Sarah, does a better job with Dorian and Selena's like
friendship dynamic
connection over like friendship dynamic than she does with like her and Kale.
I agree.
In a way,
because, like, yes, I think I did say that.
I agree with myself.
I really feel like there is something that she writes between the two of them that translates even as the books go on. And I feel like with Kale, and I love Kale. This is like, I don't want to hurt your angel boy. I feel like there's something about Kale that always, like, he loves Selena, but I feel like he sees parts of her that he loves and it's like he wants to keep her safe. And he wants to like hold on to this vision he has of her. Whereas Dorian, I think, looks at Selena and just sees her. Like, he doesn't expect anything else than exactly what's put in front of him. And throwing a severed head on the table, like almost killing his best friend.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm here. Like, your people have been, it's like in the first book when he says, how can you even stand to be in the same room with me? Like, my father killed your countrymen. Like, he destroyed your country. Right. And he is very, very self-aware. And I think that's I think that's actually probably the reason why he's very much like open with her, because he is so self-aware with everything that's happened with his family. And maybe a part of that is guilt. Maybe a part of that is like a guilt that he feels. But although you don't, I mean, you see some guilt, but like you don't, it doesn't seem to be his driving factor.
Yeah. I think, their relationship from the beginning, I think, has been like, at the end of that book and at the end of this book, he's like, I will always be thankful you're brought into my life. Like, I am, you know, and it's an openness that Kale doesn't have because he's grumpy, but also then like and I think that was probably on purpose with Kale, because then the juxtaposition of him being grumpy closed off to like, I, you know, have these feelings was like, whoa, I love him so much. But I think, you know, there's so much like more vulnerability we get with Dorian that makes him a sweet angel boy.
I was just going to say, just something you just said was really interesting, and I've never thought about it this way before, but you just said how she writes Kale kind of like gloomy and a little bit more broody. And so when he does finally say he has feelings for Selena, it's like, it's a little bit like, oh, look, like he's opening up. And I don't know, again, what I was doing when I was 18 was not much, but like, and here's SJM is writing an entire amazing series.
Exactly.
But that being said, as we've said in the first episode, in the last two episodes, like, this was initially an adult series and then she wrote them as younger characters. So with that in mind, and then also the fact that this is her first series she's ever written, I wonder if like Kale was, his character was supposed to be this broody type of person because she knew that like how it was going to end in this book wasn't going to be happy. And it kind of goes in Kim with what we'll talk about in Nehemia's death, like how a lot of people get angry at Kale and like they only take Selena's side. It's a very like it's a very polarizing thing that happens, and you either
Time is precious, and so are our pets, so time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
you know, I mean, we've read enough times where, like, we don't have this, like, hate towards Kale. But a lot of people are totally Team Selena in that moment and really have strong feelings. And whereas with Dorian, I feel like if that had been Dorian, it would have been very different. Because Dorian has allowed himself to be more vulnerable for the first two books. And Kale hasn't at all.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
And I don't know if she said it. I wonder if, like, she set it up that way purposely. So that way, like, when we lose Kale and, like, her and Selena says we're done with, like, I'm done with this relationship, we don't have this, like, I don't know. It doesn't hit us the same way.
Well, I mean, that's one of my biggest issues with how this whole thing plays out with Nehemia's death, which I know we'll get to. But, like, I think it was very purposeful of Sarah so that we would be done with the relationship, we wouldn't be upset, and we would be ready Selena to move on.
No, I do agree, but, like, when I finished this book, I didn't know if they were going to be done. He's still, like, trying to say, I love you, and she's like, don't say it. Like, they're not, like, you know? Doors closed.
But yes, I agree. Like, I think that, like, when this ends, when this book ends, like, the way that she did it, though, I feel like the way she set up his character versus Dorian's, it still would make you feel less angry towards Kale and less like, Selena, don't, like, just go. Like, leave him alone. Like, you don't need to be with him. Like, he you know, made you, you shouldn't trust him right now. Or like, even, I don't know. Like,
well, I mean, I think, but also it gets frustrating at the end when you realize that, like, Archer orchestrated all of this. Exactly. Like, he purposely drove a wedge between her and Kale and Nehemia.
Yeah.
And that's what really frustrates me is, like, she learns all of that. That it wasn't, Kale had nothing to do with it. That it was literally all orchestrated by Archer. Mm-hmm. And he purposely was trying to get Selena to not trust Kale.
Yeah.
And she still is like, I can't get over it. I'll never trust you again. Like, I don't want anything to do with
you. Yeah, she's like, when I look at you, I just can't.
Well, I mean, if we want to talk, she doesn't, because she does forgive him. She says, I am sorry. She says, I'm sorry for my part in this. I'm sorry for, I'm sorry that I feel this way. She says something, like, she has a very, I highlight it at the very end.
Right. No, I know. I just think that it just, I feel for Kale because I feel like he was a pawn and he was trying to do the right thing. And I feel like what he thought was the right thing, which was obviously he sees it as a mistake and that he should have told her.
The whole thing with he did make the bad decision and he should have told them, and I get it. But I do think it's, even the first time I read it, I thought it was overreacting. I thought she was overreacting and it was like,
thank you.
Like,
overreaction. Dude, try to kill him.
I understand that it's traumatic. I'm not saying it's not, but, like, let's just take a beat here. Like, you're literally trying to murder him. But also, like,
thank God for Dorian.
I felt like the reaction was as if she was told that Kale paid someone to kill her. Like,
killed her himself.
Like, that was the reaction I felt like. And I understand that's maybe how it was happening in her head, but, like, that was the level. And I do think it was helpful and maybe added to my feeling of overreaction that we did get moments from Kale saying, you know, I could tell them, but, like, it would just worry her. Or I could tell them, but, like, this and this. Like, it was kind of set up where you did see him go through it in his head. Mm-hmm. You knew he was making the bad decision. Like, even when he was saying it the first time, not knowing what's happening, you're like, well, that's gonna backfire.
Yeah.
That's not a good decision.
Well, it's so obvious, right? Like, that's what's kind of annoying to me is it's like, oh, I wonder how this is gonna play out. This is not gonna go well.
And he does. It is very specifically, I think, like, layered upon him being like, and his loyalty, because he's so loyal. Like, and he does this. Like, there's, like, touches of, like, I'm so loyal, this is my whole life, I've built my whole life for this loyalty, and then, like, it wouldn't even make sense to worry them, like, I don't need to tell her unless, like, there's a direct threat, like, blah 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 blah. So you kind of get it a little bit more, but I honestly forgot the timeline that he goes straight from being captured to her being dead. Like,
oh yeah,
it is.
And then her, like, Selena immediately there, trying to, like, kill him.
Yeah, I thought there was an in between where, like, we were happy that he got back and we were in love again. Agreed. For a minute.
Right.
Something that we talked about that I think is interesting is that, like, Kale's blind loyalty versus his immaturity.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think, and this goes back to that Sarah wrote these characters older originally.
Yeah.
Because to me, it does not make sense for Kale to be so
black and white,
seemingly inexperienced, and be the captain of the Royal Guard.
He's like, what, 19?
He's never even killed any. He's never even, well, I don't know, because he says he's older than Selena, and she's what, 18?
I thought he said that he was like 21 or 22.
He's older than Dorian, actually, I think.
I could have sworn he said 22.
Is it like at some point Kale and then Dorian and then Selena age-wise?
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you not think that's weird that Cain was the first person he killed?
Yes. I thought that was weird.
Of the real God. I find that odd.
Yeah. I'm like, well, what are they doing? Is this like officer training school where, like, I don't know, you just don't go out into the battle?
Yeah.
But it does seem odd for a kingdom that is so rife with
battle, war.
Totally.
War that he's so like, I'm not going to question that. I'm sure the king is not doing anything to, like, to me, that just read so inexperienced and immature. Mm. And that's what I got frustrated about is like, think with your brain, Kale. Like,
yeah, like when the king's like, I'm going to, you know, interrogate Nehemiah, make sure the guards aren't around. It's like, oh, okay. Like, what does that mean to you?
He pieces things together at the end when she does tell him about, like, you know, the staff and the word keys and the magic and the stuff. He's like, oh, and, you know, things made sense. Like, why the king came back from missions with, like, a bunch of men gone.
And I'm like, you didn't.
What?
You didn't care question to that before?
Follow up? Yeah.
Hey. Your Highness.
We're a half of... They're his men, too, right? Because he's the captain of the guard. Right.
They're his men, yeah.
Nobody was going to be questioned about that? And he's like, yeah. Oh, you know what, Selena? That's an interesting point.
I just thought about Cassian when all of his men die and, like, he goes to every single one of his, like, dead soldiers to, like, tell them.
Yeah, they have their families. Yeah.
That's an experienced, mature captain of the guard.
That's an experienced leader.
That comparison. Yes, like, that character, that level of, like, experience in the war and the battle and, like, I've killed a bunch of people is the captain of the guard level. I do agree. But I think it's, but it's necessary for the plot, but I do.
I get it. Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a little frustrating. It is interesting how, like, his dad is like, I wish your brother was as cutthroat and soldiery as you. And I'm like, what is he really?
Is he though?
Wait, can we talk about how, like, when Dorian, like, so Nehemiah dies, Selena goes apeshit, she gets thrown in the dungeon, and Dorian, just talking about, because Christina just brought up his father, like, Dorian's like, oh, well, it wasn't my dad because I was dining with him that night. You don't think your dad could hire somebody, Dorian?
He's not going to personally kill Nehemiah.
He has people to do that.
It
couldn't have been Papa. We were dining.
He was passing the gravy boat at the dinner table.
I literally highlighted and was like, Dorian, how dumb are you?
This is the shit I'm talking about, you guys. Like, why is nobody questioning
and saying things like, use your brains.
It couldn't have been daddy. He was in the room with me. Oh, okay.
So we were breaking bread.
Because as the king, he couldn't tell anyone to do things. Okay.
I just was like, oh, honey, we're not using our brains.
Our noggins. I did really like when she thought it was Grave, but she went to Grave and, like, hunts him down and she goes to the vault and she just talks to the bartender. And then I actually really loved that
she
got the, like, little snippet of a chapter from Grave's perspective, because it almost, like, I think if we had read it not from his perspective, it would have been like, you know, him pleading and be like, oh my God, no, please, blah, blah, blah. And then later we find out that it actually wasn't him. It might have been like, oh no, he really didn't, like, that was so mean and awful and bad that she did that to him. But since we got his perspective, he was like, this stupid little bitch, like, but, like, in his head was, like, saying these terrible things.
He did kill Nehemia.
Well, like, yeah, but, you're right, it just wasn't Molotov.
It wasn't the center. It wasn't the whatever.
I just like that we got at his perspective.
Yes. Well, because even just, like, the pleading, if you just hear I'm please don't, but then you don't hear the vile things he's thinking. I love when she picks out the serrated knife and she's like, pick a finger.
She's stabbing him in the thighs and you could hear the knife, like, hit the ground. I was like, oh, Selena. Yeah.
Cool girl.
Oh, yeah.
Cool girl.
I forgot that Selena leaves everything in her will to Kale, and she's like, I'm not gonna change it. And I was like,
I did
stab
love
me in the fucking heart.
I love
why
that.
Do you all hate me? Like, why would you do this to me?
So she says, this is after she kills Grave. Dorian was just starting to feel his temper fray after hours of debate when the doors to his father's council room were thrown open and Selena prowled in, her dark cape billowing behind her. All 20 men at the table fell silent, including his father, whose eyes went straight to the thing dangling from Selena's hand.
Again with the head.
And then it just goes ahead. And then she goes, I believe this belongs to you, she said, releasing her grip on the hair. The head lolled to the side with a thud. And then she patted the minister's shoulder before rounding the table and plopping onto an empty chair at one end, sprawling across it.
She gives no fucks, and I love that about her.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about her killing Calm for a second? Because we skipped
this. So this is the first time we really, like, see it and like it's acknowledged.
Oh my god.
It's so cool. It's really cool. Like, it's scary, but it's cool.
Yeah. No, like the first time I read it even, I was like, oh wow. Like, you just had, I don't know, I just hadn't read anything like that. And you know, it says every one of the restraints she'd locked into place after she'd rampaged through Endovir snapped free. An icy, endless rage swept through her, wiping away everything except the plan that she could see with brutal clarity. The killing calm, Aerobin Hamel had once called it. Even he had never realized just how calm she could get when she went over the edge. If they wanted Adderlin's assassin, they'd get her. And word helped them when she arrived.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Nellie.
Do we think the killing calm is just because of who she is as she's grown up, or because of, like, her power
as Aelin, all of that warrior?
I know she doesn't have access to her power, or I guess her fae side, but I think it's like a little combination. Like, I think she can have that stealthiness, maybe. I mean, okay.
Because Aerobin says he's never seen anything like it, so to me that's like...
Totally.
And I guess she was the best of the best, but I still feel like that's I don't know.
That's like how she can access it.
It's probably something innate inside of her that she can't even, like, she doesn't even realize she's doing. But I totally think it's
crazy,
like,
and dark and twisty, and I love it.
Oh, can we talk about Dorian and his magic? Because that is very interesting, and we skipped over that, but woo!
Also, and his journey on trying to figure it out, he goes to the library, and he's trying to read all the books and figure out, like, how can I have this? I don't understand. And there's a part where he's in the library, and it just cracked me up so much. And he was like trying to find these, like, you know, these books, and he was like, and then someone walked by, and he stood against a pillar with his legs crossed and, like, glanced at a book sidelong. And it was just like the picture of him, the image of him, like, really nervous and scattered and looking at the stuff, like, oh, someone's coming.
He was so scared. And I really love him so much more this time around. Like, I loved him.
Such a treasure.
But I just really love Dorian, and I think he's the way she
writes him, like, figuring out about his magic too is really cool. And, like, you know, just, I mean, all the whole parallel of, like, him figuring out he has magic at the same time that, like, all of this magical crazy shit's happening with Celaena, and, like, it's all, I think there's the line at some, after, like, their, you know, battle with the magical things and the whole thing, maybe it's the first one, I don't know, but at some point she's like, they, like, take a breath after the after they've fought this crazy magical things, and he's like, she goes, okay, so do you want to explain first, or should I, like, do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I love that.
And it's just, like, so good.
And this goes back to their friendship, like, they just bond differently. Like, she totally SJM raised them so different. They have such a, like, I feel like their friendship is stronger than Nehemia's.
Agreed. Yeah. Anna, like, agreed. Thank you. That's what I'm, like,
if Dorian had been brutally murdered,
rioting in the street. Don't say it. Rioting. I would not have continued. I would have been like, I'm done. I'm done with this series. I'm done. You're dead.
I don't support this.
Because I just love them together.
But it's like how does Nehemia know he has power? Like, it says you have power in you, Prince, more power than you realize.
I was about to say that part.
Oh, you were? Sorry.
So I think, no.
And it's good, but you say in it. Here, and then she touches him, and he's like, something awakened in me.
Is she, how does she see
this? I think the way that she very casually, or Celaena very casually to her, is like, one of them has to break. I think that Celaena told her already. Like, I think that that's already been in a conversation between her and Celaena.
So Celaena can be very clear with Nehemia, but couldn't be more obscure with Celaena.
Look to your right. Here.
Hey, Celaena, she's Aelin Galathinius. Hey, Dorian has magic. Okay, gotta go. But Celaena, it's riddled.
Celaena, it's rhymes. Only with the eye can you see, or whatever the heck it is.
One scene.
Time's rift.
I mean, like...
Oh, God, the time's rift.
And, like, Mort, like, laughs at her. Like, she, like, says it when she's, like, holding the thing. And he, like, laughs at her. And I'm like, hey, she's trying.
She's working with the information she has, and she's doing a damn good job.
She's doing her best. It's not her fault Elena's over here, like, bullet pointing shit for fucking Nehemia, and then
speaking riddles. So there's another thing, though, that Nehemia, that is a really just interesting juxtaposition right before Nehemia says that. We're at the ball or the dance, and it's not a dance, it's not a school dance, I'm sorry. We're at the ball, and Celaena and Kale are dancing outside, and it's really sweet and lovely and wonderful. And Celaena says to Kale, we'll never be a normal boy and girl, will we? And he says, no, we won't. And then she says this very beautiful line, which like we can talk about later, but I mean, it's lines like this where I was like, well, their relationship's not over. She said, yeah.
Read what she says.
So she says like, we'll never be blah, blah. He says, no, we won't. And then she says, the rest of the world quieted into nothing. In that moment, after 10 long years, Selena looked at Kale and realized she was home. So that's a big statement.
Okay. Okay.
Anyways, okay, but point of this is, she says that, like, we'll never be normal boy and girl. And then, like, literally the next page, Nahimi is talking to Dorian, and he said, and he's watching them out the window. And she says, you and I, like, her and Dorian, we will always stand apart. We will always have responsibilities. We will always have burdens that no one can ever understand, that they, tilting her head to Kayla and Selena, will never understand. And if they did, they would not want them. And then it's, like, italics, like, in his head, they would not want us, is what you mean. Like,
see, I feel more for Nahimia in moments like that than I do about her and Selena's friendship. Like, that made me feel for her, because it's like they have so much pressure on them and they can't just be people. They have to be rulers always first for their people.
And so
it's
wait, like, in that moment, does she not know that that's Aelin, or is she just like playing a game?
I think she just is like trying to get Dorian emotional, because right after that, she's like, you have a power in you. Like,
and she draws a word mark on his chest. And taps his heart.
I think
Speaking of Dorian, when he goes to Baba Yellowlegs, that
woman
is creepy.
She's sucking the bone marrow out of the chicken legs.
Don't like it. I think everything about the witches that we found out is just
everything. Give me all the witch content. Witches.
So much witches.
Witches.
Okay, can we get into the witches?
Because focus. I mean, I know give it to me.
We learned a little bit about the witches. A bit. Okay, so apparently,
and I was here for all of it.
Kim.
All of it.
Loves
even though
the history of the witches.
Quite literally gives me nightmares. Like, I'm not, like, she gives me nightmares.
When Dorian went to go, like, talk to her, I was like, oh, good God, are you fucking kidding me?
This stupid
is
boy.
The stupidest thing you could possibly do.
You don't know what you're getting into here, buddy.
And like, then Selena, when Selena goes to talk to her,
So that whole conversation is crazy. That happens right there. Okay. Yeah. So, listeners, yes. I will tell you all now. Yes. I tell this to everybody. Put a little bookmark in this chapter because it's important for history. Just bookmark. Chapter, what is it? 40.
Uh-huh.
Just go ahead and do 40. It. You'll thank me later.
Yep.
So we learn a lot about the witches, which they will be prevalent in the coming books. That's not a spoiler, but they are important.
Yep.
So important things that we learn in this chapter are that the word governs, it's like all of the world and like the foundation of the world, not just Aurelia, which kind of lends itself to like this whole SJM multiverse thing, right? Because it like it's the thing, the key to opening gates to other universes and other worlds. Which if you read Crescent City, listen to our fan theories episode because we go into it.
Yes.
So
this is a piece of our evidence for that
piece of our evidence. Okay, so
our thesis could be found in that episode.
Yes. So we also learned that there were three word keys. Queen Maeve of the Fae could not figure out how to get rid of them, and so she banished the Valg from this world, and she gave them to Brannon Galathinius, who would be, as we know now, Aelin's like great grandfather, I believe. And he hid them so that like
she gave the keys.
Maeve gave the Queen Maeve of the Fae gave the three word keys to Brannon Galathinius, who is Elena's father, by the way, and also Aelin's great grandfather or great great grandfather, I believe. And he hid them. Brannon did so that like the Val couldn't find them and like re-enter Aurelia, this world. So all of that is very important as the series continues. And if you get confused, feel free to come back here just to like gain a little bit of knowledge.
I forgot that the witches were Valg and Fae.
Yes.
Yes.
I forgot that that's how they made witches. I did not know
There's
that.
There's four types of witches.
Super interesting.
There's the Iron Teeth clans, which are the Blackbeaks, the Yellowlegs, and the Bluebloods. And then you have the Cochrans. And the Cochrans were like a more peaceful, they're all like beautiful like creatures, but the Cochrans take more after their Fae heritage, whereas the three other Iron Teeth take after their like Val predecessors, but they're not hideous. They're like all stunningly gorgeous, but they have like the iron teeth. And well, I mean, I wouldn't call them all stunningly gorgeous because the yellow legs have yellow legs. So
true. two traits that are hard to get traits past, I would say.
But one thing that Baba does say in this, which is like really interesting, and it's only really interesting at the end of this book when you finally find out that Selena's little mark on her head, the king says it means anonymous or nameless or unnamed. And when Selena's trying to like barter with Baba Yellow Legs, and she's trying to give her coins to like, you know, make sure that Baba Yellow Legs doesn't sell the secrets, sell Dorian's secrets. She says, Aelin says, or Selena says, name your price. And the woman studied her from head to toe, sniffing once. Nameless is my price, Yellow Legs said. But gold will do for now.
Oh,
which is very interesting.
Interesting, because then you find out later at the end that it, her forehead mark means nameless.
Interesting.
So what does that mean, Baba?
Very interesting.
Okay, so the ending. We know that there's three word keys, and as like Baba Yellow Legs has said, and that the little poem thingy, again, more cryptic shit that like we have to decipher. But we know that the king has
like the
at
third
least one.
Poem.
He might have two, but he has at least one.
I think he has two. I don't remember. Nobody tell me. I think he has two. That's just my theory. I can't remember. Don't tell me.
Remember,
but I think
either,
he has two.
Actually,
I don't think he has three.
But so Aelin is sorry. Whatever. Selena, Aelin, same.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
She
wants to open a portal. How did we do that for the last two books?
I don't know.
I think the cat's out of the bag now.
Because the book says Selena. The book just says Selena, Selena. And then at the end, she starts saying Aelin, so it's confusing.
So Selena wants to open a portal. And I can't remember like her exact reason for wanting to open the portal, except to like say
to
hi
to
Nahemia.
She wants to like say goodbye.
Or, like
and,
have
like,
some closure.
And say like, I'm sorry.
Which I get
she's,
it,
like,
but like,
going on and on. Pretty much right before that, she's like, I'm... I've never wanted or needed a friend more, or, like, to talk this through. And, like, it's also at the point where she's, like, figuring out she's kept all these secrets and, like, whatever.
So she does it, and she, like, does it with blood magic, well, the words, whatever, and she has to use her blood. And two things happen here. One, Archer shows up, okay? Little Archer fucks it all up.
Worst.
And he pushes, like, Selena, or somehow one of the word marks gets smeared, and it opens a portal to another dimension where not such nice shit lives. Meanwhile,
Bad things.
Dorian has his first come to Jesus moment with a ghost, and Gavin, Elena's husband, who's also dead.
Again, much more direct
much
with
more
Dorian.
Direct Dorian. Learn something from her husband.
So direct, actually. Yeah.
Take a page.
Gavin.
Take a note.
King Gavin wakes up Dorian and was like, hey, listen, go to Selena's room. There's a tapestry with a fae. Open it.
Couldn't be more clear.
Go down the stairs.
Could it be more clear?
Run. Something bad is about to happen.
Quickly.
Direct directions.
I was
like, I gave him a play-by-play of the situation.
I was like, why the fuck couldn't Nahemia, I mean, Elena, be like, hey, Aelin, in tomorrow's test, look at Paylor so you don't drink the poison.
No, like, or, I don't know, hold my necklace up to this hole, and then you can see.
And then you will figure it out about the word keys.
Wait, was it the necklace, or was it was a necklace, right?
It was.
Which, how freaking obvious was that? Like, the eye of Elena. Only with the eye can one see rightly. Is the fucking
and then it was
eye.
Like, and he put it in her crown where she rests, and I'm like,
in the starry cell. And
like, it's so obvious. Yeah.
It couldn't be more clear, but also agreed Elena was like very annoyingly vague. But again, it's just advice to me. He's like, go to Selena, take the passes on the right, there's a tapestry. And he's like, got it.
So funny.
Also, you should move with haste.
He stops to get Kale, and it's like Kale knows something's wrong, and like Kale gets up.
Which, thank God.
I know, and Kale like,
also, so he's running.
Kale carries that damn team on his back.
He's running, he runs into Kale, and he's like, we have to get to Selena. I had this dream, and we have to go. And Kale's like,
I'm sorry,
okay.
You had a dream? You had a
what now? And then he's like, oh, all right. But he's like, he's so freaked out, I'm not going to question this, because something has to have happened. And then he's like, well, we can't run because we're going to draw attention. So I just picture them, like, speed walking next to each other. Like, okay, but what was the dream? Oh, okay. So I had this
cool
dream, and it was really scary. But, like, make haste. Make haste.
What's the thing from Parks and Rec? Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
I'm like, also, is it not just as weird for them two men to be power walking later into the castle?
In the middle of the night?
Just casual power walking. Just getting some exercise, guys.
Who's going to question you? Who's going to be like,
it's cold outside. We're just trying to walk around indoors, get our,
like,
you know,
no one's
heart rate up.
Stop you. You're the prince and the captain of the guard.
Captain of the guard.
Like, no one's going to stop you. Just run.
My cheeks hurt.
Yeah.
I just, y'all, so, it's like, the question so they, in
they,
my mind.
They okay. jazzercise walk to her room and they make it there. And they finally make it there. And then they run downstairs and they're just like, what the fuck's going on? Oh, no, no. They walk in and they're like, and Dorian's like, oh, he told me about this tapestry in my dream. And Kale's like, what? And
then, Kale's probably like, what the?
So they get down there and like.
Anyways, yeah.
And Selena's not in a good place. Selena's been knocked down unconscious. And
she's been knocked out.
Yeah. Fleetfoot's growling and Fleetfoot's protecting her.
Oh, Fleetfoot was
No, 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 no. If something happens to Fleetfoot, and I knew it didn't, but I was like, I will riot in the streets if something happens to this dog.
We had such different reactions. My reaction was, leave the damn dog.
Oh my God. No.
I'm so awful.
No, can't leave.
Well, because Kale ran into the, like, then Kale runs into the portal. And I was like, no,
I will
Kale,
say that was Kale.
Oh, I'm sorry. You think Kale's going to risk fucking it up with Selena again?
I literally said, leave the dog. And then I put dot, 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 but don't, because Selena will blame you.
She'll blame Kale.
She will absolutely blame him. Also, I did like when Nehemia came through, and the only way that she, like, she didn't think Nehemia was coming through, and then she was like, what? And the only way she really, like, she turned around to see was because Fleetfoot was, like, wagging her little tail and so excited to see Nehemia, the dog was. It was so cute.
So sweet. And then Kale, like, immediately starts fighting this creature.
Yes.
And Selena's, like, and Archer's, like, over there chanting in the corner to himself, and, like, no one's really paying attention to him. And I'm like, is nobody seeing?
Nope. No one's, like, gonna bother with that. But, like, also, like, it's important what he's doing.
Everyone's like, Fleetfoot, the monster. People, there's three of you. Well, Selena's, she's knocked out. But, like,
I wanted to, like, yell at Dorian. I was like, Dorian, please use your magic. Just use your magic. Just freeze this thing.
Thank you. If ever there was a time.
If ever there was a time.
This is it, bro. This is it.
I forgot that it was Archer that orchestrated Nehemia's death. Yeah. And was, like, supposed to be working with her, but was actually working against her.
Oh,
like,
God. And the way that Selena then pretends that she's like, it could have been us, Archer. This could have been, like, why didn't you tell me? I would have helped you earlier. Like, oh, we can do so much together. I would have helped you kill her. Like, all this, like, crazy stuff. And he's
and
like,
she gets him to,
think
like,
of the things we can
everything.
Do. And, like, oh, it's
But then she's like,
crazy.
Oh, and you planted this, didn't you? Like, you were the one that, like, she gets him to admit, like, everything that he did. And you learn just, like, it was all so orchestrated. That he even took an arrow for her to, like, gain her trust.
Yeah, he was like, I knew you'd be
so twisted.
I knew you. Oh, my God. It's fucking crazy.
Fuck you, man. Like, I just hearing him admit that it was, like, him that did it and, like, being so passionate about that it ruined her and Kale, like, and she even says that she was like, when I figured out that it was, like, him that had driven that Archer had made me hate Kale, like, I felt rage because, like,
she was like, he took me from me, like, he took Kale from it, like, he, like, took these,
he didn't
really,
just take one person, he took two people from her,
and he, like, made just all of that stuff, like, I totally forgot about that, and they're fighting and it, I
know.
Really don't like him.
Yeah. So Nehemia comes through.
She's
and
I'm just thinking.
She gets, like, mad. She's like,
she's
don't,
like,
call
don't
me
call
again.
Me. I'm,
like,
busy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Which, like,
Nehemia,
I get, like, that it's not safe to open the portal. Like, that's valid.
So funny to me.
I got stuff to do.
Don't do this again. And I was like, okay, she didn't even say anything
but,
to,
like,
you. Like,
she
can she just
even,
have a
but
moment?
She does have an important line at the end. She says, don't let your light go out.
Yeah.
Which is, like.
Or she said, you were. Well, she says that, like, she calls Selena, like, light in her life.
Yeah. She says, there was a lot of darkness in my life, but you were in the last few years, you were the one that brought the most light. Don't let that light go out.
Yeah.
Something like that. The last
is
line
so
is don't
sweet.
Let the light go out, which is important to, I think, Selena Aelin, as, like, the series continues, just that her saying that to her is important.
Yeah. I'm happy that she got a little bit of a sweet moment from
closer,
her.
Yeah.
Well, it's another, like, I will not be afraid moment, you know? Like, I think that becomes, like, a mantra for her, like how I will not be afraid is from Sam and don't let the light go out from Nehemia. Like, all these people that she's lost,
and it doesn't, I mean, it's meaningful in the sense that, like, I mean, listen, if anybody was gonna just, like, let the light go out and just, like, lean into this whole assassin thing, she would have all the reasons in the world.
She would,
you know, like, nobody would even think twice. Like, she
100%.
Like, it's amazing she didn't, if you guys have seen the show Dexter, it's amazing she didn't turn out like Dexter. Like,
I mean, it's
like
amazing she wasn't girlfriend, I mean, I would have given up long ago. I just would have, you know, just
so, I mean, don't let the light go out, which was, you know, that was her big fear with Elena, was like, what if she can't come back from this? And she's, and Elena's like, well, she always manages to find her way.
Right.
Oh, does she?
Does she, Elena?
We have a lot of shade for Elena.
I'm not about it.
I don't care for her. So, okay. So then we go to Archer and we find all this shit out from Archer. And then the whole shit goes down with the portal, right? And the thing with the Kale.
So Kale's like, get Dorian out of here. Save Dorian. And Selena's trying to drag Dorian out of like the stairwell or whatever. And she sees Kale jump through the portal because to chase Fleetfoot, because Fleetfoot chases.
Yeah.
And I love this. She knocks Dorian out with the back of her sword. Like,
oh yeah. She's like, okay, well, you're in the way. She just
knocks him out and like he crumples to the ground, which I forgot. This is important because I forgot that the first time I read it and I didn't understand why Dorian didn't know that she was like fey and had magic.
Because
I was like, were you just not paying attention?
He was knocked out. And he mentions when they come back through, he's like, something's weird. He's not touching her.
Yeah. He's like not looking at her. And like when Selena goes through the portal, she feels the change, like, because apparently it's not a comfortable change to go from your human form to your fey form. And I wouldn't know.
Reminds me of like the werewolf books I read. Like they're like shifting into their, you know.
So like she shifts again. And like in shifting, it like heals her wounds and like whatever, because like her fey magic heals her faster. And then there's like this.
And she's like full on fey. Yeah. She's got like the ears and the teeth and the
and it was like things. So sweet. She said she had never.
She's a fey girl.
There was like a few. She says if she had thought she'd known fear and pain before, it was nothing compared to what went through her when Kale ran through the portal after Fleetfoot.
Yeah.
And then she, and then like the next chapter is, it's so sweet. She goes, and when she saw Kale shielding Fleetfoot with nothing but his bare hands, his discarded sword snapped in two by the demon who hovered over them, she didn't think twice before she unleashed the monster inside of herself.
Yes.
Like her magic. Like,
see?
Yes. And he's like, literally just like hovering over Fleetfoot. Oh.
It's so sweet.
Because didn't the demon grab Fleetfoot and run in the portal or something? Or was Fleetfoot chasing a squirrel
It said Fleetfoot, but then she started the same word again and again as Dorian tried to keep dragging her up the stairs. Fleetfoot. Kale looked in a dark shadow, but Fleetfoot had been left behind. There was nothing he could do, absolutely nothing, as a creature the creature world grabbed Fleetfoot by your injured hind leg and dragged her through the portal.
I would have been game on
after that. I would have gone into it and been like, oh hell no, you're not taking my dog. And the fact that Selena like was yelling the fact that Selena was like yelling for Fleet, like as Dorian was like dragging her. That was so sweet.
It's really interesting because like she talks about her fey when she goes through the portal and she shifts. It's the you know, she has it. It's interesting to hear it talked about because she says the moment she burst through the portal, something changed. It was like a fog vanished from her face, her features sharpening, her steps becoming longer and more graceful, and then her ears shifted into delicate points. And it was just
and then her fire
I forget is blue, like blue flame.
Yeah,
her power.
So also at that point, then Dorian shows his magic to Kale without meaning to.
Yes.
Or when not without meaning to, he's just using, he uses magic.
Right, yes.
But
yeah.
He, like, isn't, he's not, like, you know, it's life or death. We're just, Kale's here, so we're using it.
So he's gonna have to see it. So that's valid.
But she's fey. That's crazy.
Yes. And she has, there's a little heavenly fire thing in here that I don't know if anyone else caught.
Of course.
But like,
always.
It says she had little control over the power, but she did have a sword, a sacred sword made by the fey, capable of withstanding magic, a conduit. And I like, it was just, while she's in the portal, like all of a sudden she can't control her magic. Everything's about to go to shit, but she has this like one sword. Oh, that happens to also be able to be a conduit for her magic. Right. And she can split the world in two and create this giant chasm to like kill all the demons. I was just like, what?
Who would have ever thought that?
Okay, Cassandra Clare.
Like, how convenient. Okay, right,
yes. Yeah. Do you think they did a buddy read and Cassie Clare wrote Elena as the character and then also put that in there? Do you think buddy writing situation?
Like a switcheroo?
Okay, can we talk about Archer again?
Yes. Because So they come back through the portal and Kale's like, okay, well, let's like, a lot of shit just happened here. Like,
Yeah.
Dorian has magic. You're Fae. And you have magic.
Yeah.
Like, can we all go talk about this? And Selena's like, nope, Shaunt, need to go chase after Archer now. And, like, runs after him. And she catches him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. This is awful. I hate this line so much.
Yeah. Well, so, like, she's talking to Archer, and, like, he's trying to escape, but he can't. And they get into, like, an argument. And
right.
He brings up Farron, Rourke Farron, yeah, who is, like, the crime lord that violently tortured and killed Sam in the Assassin's Blade. Mm-hmm. And he taunts Selena, basically, and is like...
Ugh. Terrible.
He says, you know, he's taunting Selena, and he says, Nehemia was hiding something about you. She didn't want you involved. And I thought it was just because she didn't want to share you with us, but now I wonder why exactly. What more did she know? And Selena laughs, and she's like, you're a fool if you think I'd help you. And then he says, Archer says, oh, once my men start working on you, you'll soon change your mind. Rourke Farron was a client of mine before he was killed, that is. You remember Farron, don't you? He had a special love for pain. He told me that torturing Sam Cortland was one of the most fun he ever had.
Oh!
Yeah.
Y'all, it's so sickening.
It is.
That I feel.
I know.
It is disgusting. Like, I literally was like, murder him now. Kill him now. Like, I need him dead now.
Yes.
And she still tries not to be like, I don't know, like, she's about to kill him, and he says, Nehemia, he's begging. And she says, Nehemia wouldn't want this. She wouldn't want you to do this. And then she remembers what Nehemia said to her, which is why it's also really important. Oh. Don't let that light go out. Don't let that light go out. It keeps repeating in her head. And she gives him the chance. She says, you have to leave Rifthold tonight. Take all of your friends. And he says, thank you. Ugh. And as he was leaving, God, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. So she kept walking, listening for any sign of him moving to attack her back. I knew you were a good woman, he said. Selena halted, turned. There was a hint of triumph in his eyes. He thought he'd won, manipulated her again. One foot after another, she walked back towards him with predatory calmness. No, I'm not, she said. Then she moved too fast for him to stand a chance. Archer's eyes went wide as she slid the dagger home, jamming it up into his heart.
Yeah!
And then she goes, no, she says, no, I'm not, but Nehemia was.
Yes! Oh, that line's so good. Also, so I was gonna be really mad if she didn't kill him. I was like, no, yeah, please.
You can't let him go. Okay.
No, absolutely.
Like,
yeah. Come on.
Of all the people you wanted to kill in this book.
Right.
Yeah. This, like, is the one.
No, we're killing him. We're killing him.
This is the one. Also, you can actually bring his head to the king. This one, you're not lying about.
Yeah, it works out well.
Yeah.
So she does.
Yeah.
You know, she brings it to the king and...
Oh my God, that scene's fucking crazy.
So Kale is worried about Selena. He knows that she's Fae, and he's like, this is obviously the most, like, dangerous place for her to be is in this castle and around the king. And he was like, I realized, like, why she was always, you know, like, so scared of the king. He doesn't know that the Moor is coming.
Yeah.
But right now, he's like, oh, she's Fae. That's why she's always so, like, scared of the king is because...
Yeah, and she's got magic. Yeah.
And she's got magic. So, like, he's like, we need to get her out. And again, this is where I'm like, did we think this through? I don't know. He goes to his dad and is like, we need to send... I want to send Selena, the king's champion, to Windland to kill the royal family that lives there and get their, like, naval ship plans or something. And I want you to back me. And his dad's like, okay, well, what's in it for me? And he's like,
he's the fucking worst.
I will come back to Aniel and I will give up my title as captain of the Royal Guard, and I will come and be, you know, like, the head of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I'll come back to Aniel with you for Selena.
God damn
Which,
it.
That right there to me is such a prime example of, like, Kale's, he does love her, it's just he doesn't always show it in the best way, but, like, the fact that he was willing to give that up for her to keep her safe,
the one thing that he identifies as, like, truly
the one he hates his dad, like, he does not want to go back with him
as would anyone. He's terrible,
he's awful, and so for him to do that, it was just I was really like, oh,
I feel torn about this moment, because this time in particular when I read it struck me as very, like, white knight, like, knight in shining armor in the worst way, like, okay woman, I'm gonna solve your problems for you because I know better than you what you need, so let me just handle it, and, like, you're not even involved, like, you know what I mean, like, okay, but, like, maybe we should have involved her considering it's her life and you're
even know that, like, the king told Selena, if you ever don't come back from a mission, I will kill Kale and I will kill Nehemia and all of her family. Right. And so like he's sending her to Wendolyn thinking she doesn't have to come back. Like she's safe there. But he doesn't realize that like that's not an option. If she doesn't come back, he dies.
And he doesn't know about the word keys. And even Selena later is like, if I had stayed, you and I could like find them together.
Done this together.
To freaking go to Wendolyn and somehow kill a royal family. And he's like, fuck.
He's like, oh, shit. I'm like,
yes, Kale. Maybe if we had thought this through.
There's a lot of like not talking in these first two books and like the secrets and stuff, which reads very YA, you know? And then it doesn't happen as often in the next books.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely like some secrets, but for the most part, there's usually somebody else who knows what's happening.
Yeah. Well, and I think it I don't know, in this, it definitely, that read to me as like a little annoying, like Kale, it just, I don't know. It was like Kale knew better than Selena what she needed for herself also, that like than Dorian, than everyone, just like handle it himself, even though like, sweetie, just take a breath and consult some friends and some people in your life.
I just hated that he didn't tell, I actually didn't like that that he didn't tell Dorian either.
Well, right. But then the other side of that was the willingness to go back to Aniel and give up everything in his life, like that he's worked so hard for, to be miserable. Yeah. Was like, oh my God, you sweet, sweet boy. Like, you love her so much.
I agree, Christina. I was frustrated because I was like, you're taking Aelin away at a time when, like, she really needs to be here searching for these word keys and, like, finding out more information. And now she's being shipped off on this mission that you've concocted for her.
Yeah. You were, like, knew better for her how to save her than she did. But...
And again, it's Kale has a white knight complex. I totally do see that. He gets humbled later in the book.
Stay tuned for that. But I do think he in this, though, like, in his mind, really did think he was doing what needed to be done.
No, he did.
To the sacrifice of his own happiness and life.
He did. But again, like, tell Dorian. Like, talk to somebody about it. Oh,
yeah,
there's... Like,
yeah. Well, and the way that it, like, it goes down in that meeting where Dorian is like, what the fuck? And Kale won't look at him. And he's, like, looking down. And then Selena. And then the fact that the king makes Kale tell her, like, makes Kale be the one to be like, I think you should go to Wendolyn and like do this and this and this. And she just stares at him for like a hot minute and then is like, it would be my pleasure. Oh, God.
Yeah, like it, like.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
She really can put on a show, let me tell you what.
Before she leaves for Wendolyn, she visits Nehemia's grave and she makes a promise to, you know, stop the king, to free, that she'll never forgive or ever forget, like, what he did to Nehemia and her people, and that she will free Ilwe. And then she, like, makes, like, a blood promise and, like, you know, puts blood on her grave.
Very sweet.
Very sweet.
That was a powerful moment, yeah.
Which I also love that moment when she sings the Fae eulogy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Kale hears her and then he goes to the library and tries to figure it out. Oh, yeah.
And when she says goodbye to Dorian and she says, I'll come back. Yeah. I'll come back for you.
For you.
And it's like, I love that when you part. Find out she's Aelin, like, I guess some people could take it as like, I don't understand how anyone could take that as like a threat because of her relationship with Dorian. But like,
I
don't know. I'm just saying like somebody could, I guess. Well, Kale takes it a bit as, well, he doesn't hear that saying, but he sees her as a threat at the end. No, like I think she sees the good. There's so much good in like potential in Dorian, and that like she doesn't want to leave him to flounder with his father.
Yeah. You know?
Like I think she's always still, she's still Selena in her head, even though like she's about to tell Kale the truth. I think she's like, I'll come back for you, and like, well, I don't, like, she's not gonna leave him alone.
Which I thought was really sweet because I feel like he really needs that.
Especially with his magic, and he's so alone.
His magic. Yeah. Like that's what they like bonded over that.
I think that's kind of what, I took it as that. You know, I'll come back for you and we'll figure this out together. And she does have that whole thing where she talks about, where she looks at him and she sees this like sweet, thoughtful, like kind prince. Yeah. And she's like, the court that Nehemia wanted to build, like, I look at him and I see like that it's possible. Yes. And I feel like that's also some of the, like, I'll come back for you, like, you know.
Yes. I love that. I thought that was really, really special. And so it's interesting because Kale shows up and Selena's about to leave. And
I was, that's also, I was like such a, I don't know, she's like getting on the boat. He's like, wait. And like, it was just like such a, like,
melodramatic.
And I know that it was like YA melodramatic, like, you know, the equivalent of like in a rom-com running through the airport, like scene.
Yes,
but
yes,
I was here for it. I was like, yes, you stop her.
But then, you know, he says, like, regardless of what you are, like a fae, an assassin, like, I don't care. And then she stops him and she's like, don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's so interesting because for reasons I can't really get into, but he was going to say, like, I love you. He was going to be like, I don't care who you are. Like, I love you. And I was like,
do you think she remembers Sam saying that to her and she never said it back?
Yeah.
Like, I think for her to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what I thought.
Well, I think she also has said, like, I'm trying emotionally to not be attached to you anymore. Like, this, that's not going to help what I need to do.
True. And so he basically, I think he does tell her, he does say, I love you. And then she says, she leans in and whispers a date in his ear. She just whispers something in his ear.
It's really important what she says though right after, because she says she says you'll figure he's like, what does that mean? and she's like, you'll figure it out. And when you do, I want you to remember that it wouldn't have made any difference to me. It's never made any difference to me when it's come to you. I'd still pick you. I'll always pick you. And it's just it's like really sweet, because I think it's true. Like, I don't think it matters to her who she, like, I
and then he says I love you.
Yes.
And
she says, I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
And I think she means I'm sorry for so many. I think she means I'm sorry for what you're about to find out. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry this can't work.
Or
she feels like this can't work. I'm sorry. I just feel like it's like a loaded statement. And it's just,
because she says, I'm sorry, she said, hoping he would remember those words later when he knew everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, okay, so then he goes back.
Then the truth.
Some research. And through a sequence of some papers and some lineage and some books, he finds out that she is, the way it's said is like, like the actual like thing was, the last line is, Selena was the lost queen of Terrasen. Kale sank to his knees.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
good.
Yeah.
And then so that's the last line of the book. And you're like, what?
So
she is the lost queen of Terrasen.
The lost queen of Terrasen. Everyone thought she was dead.
Aelin Ashriver Galathinius.
She is not.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how the book ends, which is wild.
Nutso. Yeah.
Nutso. Anything else before we get into our spoilery section?
I don't think so. What a fun ride. Goodbye, listeners who have not finished the series. Yes. We'll see you next time.
Okay, so from this point forward, we are going to be doing we will be talking about things that will possibly spoil things for the entire series. So if you have not finished the books all the way through the final one, Kingdom of Ash, then just feel free to come back and listen to them, to this part once you do, once you finish.
Yeah. Yes.
Which we do highly recommend, because you will gain quite a bit.
You can see how
just brilliant SJM is in leading us on this journey. And each book has very specific Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so great. So now that we're done with that, let's talk about spoilery things.
Yay. Okay. So many things, y'all. Okay, so
one big thing was when Dorian goes to Baba Yellow Legs and he's asking about magic.
There's a lot
there's a lot there to unpack. But like, she says maybe, you know, she's talking about like where she would start learning about magic is, why did magic disappear in the first place? And you know, it's like
logical.
Yeah. Maybe that would explain, like she says, if you find the answer to that, maybe that would explain how there could be an exception to the rule, meaning Dorian, like, how the hell do you have magic and nobody else?
Right.
Which we find out later is because, like, probably because, like, the three clock towers that his father built are, like, built with, like, his power and blood and magic. So therefore Dorian is related, and so then Dorian can somehow, like, he's like a loophole in the system.
Oh,
you know?
I remember that.
I just thought it was like, I don't know, he's special.
Yeah. Well,
his
the clock towers are very interesting. Like, they're...
Yeah.
And the whole magic and his dad, there's just...
Obviously, like, the nameless is my price thing.
Okay.
Right. Which is the whole through line.
The whole
damn thing.
Very important in book 5.
Right. We really put really? That in early.
Yeah.
And then Nameless, like, Nameless is my
that
price.
Whole combo with, yeah, the whole combo with Baba Yellow Legs, there is
so much
there.
Oh my God.
That ties in to later books. It is wild, y'all. It's book two. And there are things.
Book two!
Like the name, I remember reading book five, and she's on the ship, uh-huh. And I remember the moment where she says, she repeats Nameless is my price. Like something, somebody says something, and it triggers uh-huh. that saying that Baba Yellow Legs told her.
Yeah.
And I remember right. thinking myself, where do I hear? I know, I put the book down immediately and scoured all my other books till I found, I was like Googling
yeah,
I,
like when we said
where
it.
She said it. Yeah. It was in book two.
Like,
amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Sarah.
Oh, SJM.
Amazing.
And like, the, and right. then like the whole thing with Maeve.
The Maeve with the rings and all that.
And the
that
fact
kind of
that
stuff.
Like, yeah. Like the fact that like Maeve actually didn't like give Bran and the rings. I don't think she did. I'm pretty sure he right. took them from her. I'm a little bit confused there, but I do know that like Maeve,
that.
Yeah. you know, I'm a little confused on that timeline, but or like what exactly happens there, but I know that me like too. Maeve is yeah. not actually Fae, obviously. She's Vowed.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. She's, yeah, Vowed.
And like she took the keys and there was a whole thing with like,
yeah,
she basically didn't do what everyone thinks she did with
no,
the keys.
She's got this whole like weird mind control over everybody to yeah. somehow like make them believe yeah. that she's a Fae queen.
Which is crazy. That powerful. That's possible.
Okay, crazy powerful.
Like, how can she do Jeez. That?
Which, like, yeah. That's really crazy. Also, for a quick second, can we just like segue into, there are so much in this book that SJM like specifically references as if Kale is endgame.
Yes.
Like rereading
it. Not just
it,
endgame.
I'm like,
but
wow.
when you read her other series, the fact that he is referenced as home, he's the when yeah. they first kiss, it says, the kiss obliterated her. It was like coming home or being born or suddenly finding an entire half of herself that had been missing.
Right.
What?
Or when they're dancing and she's like, after 10 years, she finally realized she was home. I was like, which also, a little Easter eggy, I meant to put this in the outline, little Easter egg, is exactly what Kale says when he has sex with Yureen for the first time. And he says that out there in the desert with Yureen, he was finally home, which is very sweet.
Oh.
But, like,
oh,
I wonder, it's like, what do I you think that there's a possibility a that she didn't think, like, yes. she thought Kale was endgame? That she thought yes. that they were going to come back together? Because it would make a lot of sense.
I don't think yeah. she thought Rowan was going to be who he ended up being.
I think she thought he was going to be, yeah. like, a Karananam. Maybe?
Yes. yes. Yes.
Because she, sure. in yeah. the acknowledgement, she calls someone that. She references, like, a friend.
Is her
Susan Dodd, who's a fellow fantasy author.
Oh.
She calls her that whatever that saying is.
Karananam.
I think she thought Rowan was not going to be Aelin's mate.
I mean, the
I
way she sets it up,
to know.
She, her and Kale are, like, there's a lot of, like, clues
thank
to
you.
In here.
There's yeah. so much in here.
The first time
like,
I read it, I was like, they're going to get back together. Like, well, I didn't even emotionally attach to Rowan because
well,
I was like,
also,
we're going back to
the
Kale.
More, the fact that, like, I mean, I don't know about you guys. Well, I know when you read it, Kim. I read this when I was, I don't know, when the books first, I mean, I was young. And I hadn't really read any other Fae books, and I was not really familiar with like the mate term or uh-huh. what yeah. people or like, you know, like now there's just so many clues like with like, you know, but like with yeah. other, you know, with other books that she has written, it's very clear when somebody, not very clear, but it's, you know, there's quite a few strong hints that somebody is somebody's mate based on using specific mm-hmm. words, like a strong yeah. bond, a connection, uh-huh. you know, feeling like
home.
Your home is a big one. She's a yeah. song to my whatever.
Blood.
My
blood. Heart song yeah. blood. I think, honestly, here's what I think about it. I think Sarah, as an author, loves to use the phrase coming home in romantic relationships. I think that's just a phrase she likes to use. I think she feels like it's very effective, which it is. And I think she used it here without really knowing where we were going in the 8 books. But we now, from dissecting her work so intensely,
uh-huh.
feel like it's a sacred term and a sacred phrase. And so, like, that's why we
but
now
you know what's also interesting?
Emphasis on it.
Having, like, because I'm, like, 70 or 80 pages into Air of Fire or something. She and Rowan they mind speak almost immediately. I didn't pick up on that the first
yeah.
time I read the book.
Which
oh, really?
Is,
like, a pretty strong mate feature in
See,
other
I
books.
I wonder if we're just, if she's like, oh, like, that was just, like, this is the first, like, Fae we've seen her interact
Yeah.
Oh, no, because there's other
Fae. No, there's
Fae
other
there?
Fae, but nobody else can mind
yeah.
speak with, or you don't get the impression.
Or maybe that was just going to be the Karananam. I don't
no,
know.
No, and it could have been that.
But no, I...
Yeah. But that is interesting. Like, I'm wondering if she wrote this and didn't think anything, and then maybe she changed her mind when she started Air of Fire. I don't know.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Or she's just fucking with us.
Yeah, probably that's what it is.
Or a lot of
that. Can we talk about Selena killing a matron and she's now a witch killer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That,
okay.
That be important.
Is, yes, it is.
Totes.
Because she, okay, so what's the ring around the neck again?
So I can't remember how she gets it, but I think, Baba Yellowleg scratches her with her iron nails, I think. She creates like a ring around her neck, which is like, it won't heal proper. It heals, but it scars over like white lines.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And it's like,
it marks, it's like she's, marked her as like a witch killer. It marks her as like a witch killer. Yeah, because it's like the iron.
And even, doesn't someone say that to her? Someone says like, you
someone
killed...
calls her a witch killer. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's like Mort or Elena or something. When she, like at the end of the book, Mort says like,
I bet it's
yeah,
Mort.
And then he's like, and he's, and she's like, oh, do you think they'll come after me? And he's like, I don't know.
Right. But even he's like, you killed a matron of a clan. Like that's a big deal.
He's like, they're gonna come like fig, this try to is figure not that
the,
out.
Like, he's basically that's just like, deal. This is not the end of this. Like,
yeah.
This is,
oh,
like,
yeah, no. And it's a big deal in Era of Fire. Like, everyone's like, how the hell
did
this happen?
And then you're in the king's, and then you're in the king's head, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, and I invited that damn carnival here with the damn witch to ask her questions, and someone fucking killed her. Like, damn it. Yeah.
He said something about the mirrors.
Yes.
In this book.
Yeah. He was like, I wanted to get her mirrors. And oh,
no. I'm like, the first time I was like, why do you want mirrors? You want to look at yourself? Like,
when he mentioned those mirrors, no, I was like, oh, shit. And then when he was like, oh, it'll be perfect her going to Windland because he can use out some of the stuff he's been, like, him and Parrington have been building and crafting. And I was like, oh, fuck.
He's like, oh, wait, when I read the word mirrors, I was instantly like, oh, God. Oh,
trigger
warning for Kim.
Trigger warning.
Oh, Kim.
Oh, God. Oh, also, God. Just knowing what's in store, every time we see Calteen on page, I'm just like, oh, good God.
I know. Poor Calteen.
Also, I really did love getting to see Selena give her that cloak, because that's a big deal, because she says
at the end, tell, yeah.
Well, she says to... Elide. To Elide. That she's like, tell Selena Sardothian, like, thank you for giving me, like, a cloak in the... And that's what she holds, and that's why she gives
She wraps a piece of the word key in the cloak.
And then Elide gives it back to her.
It's like,
and she's like, this is from Calteen.
I forgot about that.
And then she blows that shit up.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
But also the fact that this, like, Calteen took a piece of that cloak just to, like, have something to remember. Oh, God.
It's heartbreaking.
The fact that they wouldn't let her take the damn cloak. Like
she's freezing. Just let her.
Yeah.
It's awful. Okay.
Also, so the flapping wings are the Wyrmans, right?
Yes, the Wyverns. Yeah. We actually could have talked about that because the king does bring that up at the end of the book. I just didn't
realize. Oh, he
does. I didn't realize that.
Okay,
a second ago. Yeah, the flapping wings are the Wyverns. Yeah, they're like, I don't understand, like, what the difference is. They just don't breathe fire, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, also, the I'll come back for you. I really think, I feel like that's, like,
it's
just so sweet, because when she does come back, he has a thing in him and he's not him, and she has to get him out.
And it's like, that's right. And he remembers her, though, like, well, in book four, he remembers her. He occasionally will have his, like, moments of lucidity, and he says, like, she said she'd come back.
Heartbreaking.
Oh. Yeah. I love book four. So good.
That's book four and five are.
I can't wait.
So good.
So good.
Any other spoiler Easter eggs before we sign off for the evening?
What's the thing with the demon? Like, it had not forgotten.
Oh, like, you know, the fact that, like, when, like, with Roland turning into, like, I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, that, like, Roland has, like, a moment of, like, clarity before, like, in book three or four or whatever it is, and, like, he's part of his humanity is in there,
and
just like the creature in the bottom of the library, and then, like, when Dorian
Right.
like Manon says, he's still like, she writes on the, you know, she does her life debt, and she's like, tells Aelin that, like, he's still in there, the princeling, and so Aelin, like,
so we see that in the demon creature in this book, because she recognizes that he's
and the demon makes a point that, like, he's been abandoned, but he has never forgotten what they've done to him, how they, like, starved him, how they've, like, tortured him, like, his it just reminded me of Calteen, like, all the shit you're gonna see her go through,
awful. Which also such an interesting SJM choice too in this book, to give us the demon creature's mindset, like, put us in his head, because in my mind, we weren't in any of the Valghead mindsets until Dorian, but it's interesting we were in his.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And I don't know what they're doing to create him, like, it's not really explained. And I think it does get explained eventually, but
not necessarily
this one, but I think he was, like, practice. Like,
oh, like, he what was,
do you
like,
think,
yeah,
who
yeah.
do you think he was?
I think he's been in there for wish a we very long that. Time. Like, I think that...
But, like, was he just, like, a courtesan, or was he, like... I wish they would have explained... Like, I feel like he was a part of it, and then he just was never, like, mentioned.
We never see him again.
I always thought that he was somebody who had been there, like, before... Like, I thought he could have been, like, 50, 60 years old. Like, he'd been tortured in there decades ago, before Dorian and Aelin were born, and he'd, like, forgotten his own name.
And they just, like, left him down there?
It's kind of what I always... That's what I always thought. Like, he was just this creature who, like,
to lived. Me, that seems like an oversight. I thought he was like
an experiment of Parrington and like the kings, but yeah. like but they just let him go in the catacomb, like relatively recently. Mm.
But do you not think that's strange that they would just like leave him down there?
Yeah, but I think a lot of what they do is strange.
Okay, that's true.
That's true. Valid.
Valid. Touche.
Okay, well, I think this was a good wrap up, ladies.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that sums it up. Obviously, our next episode will be Heir of Fire.
Yes.
With Aelin in Winland.
There is so much happening.
Going through some.
She has got to like work through some shit.
Uh huh. Homegirl is unwell. She goes through it. Well, to say the least. She goes through it. Okay, so until then, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Happy reading. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.